Hello, everybody. It's good to be here, isn't it? It's good to be here. Thanks, Al, for leading the service for us today. Yeah, great job. Doing a really good job with our young people. And I'm very grateful for everything you do. So, with the green light from my extremely kind wife, and if she's away this morning, if she's listening to this, thank you very much, Rebecca. The green light from my extremely kind wife, I got to ski 210 miles with some good friends over about 6 days. 210 miles, just over 30 miles a day. Have we got any skiers here with us this morning? Just a few skiers with us this morning. Now, anyone knows anything about skiing, you know to ski 200 miles down means that's an awful lot of chairlifts up. And an awful lot of chairlifts up equals an awful lot of time to think. Now, during that week, I didn't really write too much down. Stood it a little in the evening with the help of a little tartiflette. Any fans of tartiflette? Do you know what tartiflette is? It's like a very savoir traditional French deal. Look up tartiflette, it's amazing. My dad makes a fantastic tartiflette, so if you would like a tartiflette, he's sat at the back, and he will happily make you one any time, no problem. And give it to the 519 fund, the money. Fantastic. Well done, Dad. Well done. That's not scripted, but maybe it's meant to be. But during the day, the thoughts flowed and just grew. And as soon as it was time to get back on the bus, you get on this bus high up in the French Alps. As soon as it was time to get back on the bus, I took out my phone. And oh boy, did the words just start to flow. And here they are. Really, that's what I'd like to bring to you this morning. You know, I always find myself when I'm speaking, it's just not my thing just to talk about things that I've kind of known for a long time. I guess in some respects I feel like I've been afflicted, blessed or afflicted, I'm not sure, you have to decide, with what I call a sacred discontent. A sacred discontent. I don't know if this morning you feel a sacred discontent. You're always looking for more to understand more. But of course we look to transcend and include, include and transcend. What do I know and what can I learn? What do I know? What can I learn? You know, someone once said to me that all a good spiritual teacher could do really is give words and verbalizations so that you find yourself saying, yes, me too. I don't know, maybe if you ever listened to a talk and something inside of you really stirs because actually that same movement, if you like, that's been happening inside of me has been happening maybe inside of you, maybe even this week or over the last few weeks. So I pray maybe this morning some of you might feel that too. So here's the thing. I believe we were made to love. And that there's a flow in and there's a flow out. And I think outside of this flow of love, we suffer. And maybe even die on the inside, or maybe even die on the outside. And there's a source to this love, and that's God. In fact, maybe a simple definition of a Christian is quite simply someone who is drawing on that source. Someone who's drawing on the source. You know, ultimately, I think being a Christian has very little to do with rituals or having faith in our beliefs or making sure we're in or out or us or them or whatever it is. I think perhaps ultimately a Christian in the most simple terms is someone who has that connection with the source. And that will affect everything in your life. It will affect everything. I also think there's a divine flow. We're going to keep looking at this word flow. There's a divine flow in and out. And the Bible is full of references to streams and rivers and plants. There's this kind of what I call a dynamic dynamic. There's a dynamic dynamic in the Bible. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. There's this in, there's this out, there's this flow. And I also think, deep down, we know when we're flowing. We know when we're flowing, when we're connected. And we know when we're not feeling very connected. And I suspect most of us go through periods of our life where we feel very connected and feel like we're really flowing in our relationship with God, our relationship with the people around us. And there may be times where you feel like you're just not flowing very well at all. And I wonder where you find yourself this morning. Two things. Let me be very clear from the outset, and anybody who knows me will already know this. There are definitely periods of my life where I feel like I am flowing, but more importantly, or more obviously, periods of my life where I feel like I am not flowing, okay? So I'm not standing here saying, do it like this, whatsoever. I was reading a book, referring back to a book I'd seen a while ago, read a long time ago, a book called The Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down. And he says, when you have unpleasant feelings, don't grab hold of them and turn them over and over. Instead, leave it alone so it can flow. The wave of emotion will naturally recede on its own as long as you don't feed it by dwelling on it. Yeah? Let's read that again. When you have an unpleasant feeling, don't grab hold of it and turn it over and over. But instead, leave it alone so it can flow. The wave of emotion will naturally recede on its own as long as you don't feed it by dwelling on it. I kind of wonder whether there are kind of different flows in our lives, and ultimately we're born to flow with that love, but there are other flows that can feel like they block this flow, or feel like we get clogged up, or that peace is broken somehow. And secondly, let me be very clear. There is an invitation to every single one of us here this morning. I mean, every single one of us here this morning to be part of this flow. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how long you've been here. Doesn't matter how many few times you've been here. You are invited to the flow. Now, what kind of introduction was that? That wasn't a very light introduction, was it? You're all kind of like, oh, I'm exhausted. Please stop. Let's just pause and pray together. Father, this morning, as we think about this flow, we think about the source of this flow. We want to be honest with who we are and where we are. Maybe people here this morning who just feel like they're flowing really well. Maybe other people who feel like this is happening less well. Father, teach us to flow. Show us how to unblock the things that are stopping this flow. Give us the courage to not spend all our time pointing the fingers at other people, because maybe we need to look back at ourselves. Amen. Amen. Are you still with me? Have I lost you already? We're still here. Now, last week, Linda, you spoke on the vine. Passage of the vine, and passage in the New Testament about the vine and the branches. When I was looking at that image and looking at that screen, did you see, did you feel the flow pulsing through those branches? I am the vine. There's this flow. There's this growing. And you know, and as much as I dislike quoting isolated individual Old Testament verses, because more often than not, a super nice verse is followed up by a less than super nice verse very close behind. We have to deal with the whole or not at all. But how about Isaiah 43 verse 19? Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness that runs rivers in the desert. Now, the passage that grabbed me in the snow about this whole subject more than anything was a passage that for many of you might be super familiar, and it's in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. I'm going to put those words on the screen for us, and I'm going to read those to us this morning. Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 9. I'm reading even from the English Standard Version. This is Jesus. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and I like that. We've got the flow already. The sea is flowing. And a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. Interesting. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teachings, he said to them, listen, listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed. Some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Well, the seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30, 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he, or they who have ears to hear, let them hear. Have ears to hear, let them hear. And you feel the flow in this passage. And you feel the flow. It's all about growing. Tell me, when does a plant stop growing? Well, it's never, unless it's dead. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. You know, the Bible was written by people, I believe, just like, in some respects, just like you and me. Let's not get too excited about this. People just like you and me. But somehow God has breathed, not dictated, very important. God has breathed into this text. And we have this word of God that pulses through the scriptures. And I'm sure you've heard that many times. The word of God in scripture. And it's alive and it's pulsing. And maybe it's just as relevant now as it was when it was first written down. Because there's like a pulse through the text. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. You know, I think to flow or to grow, we have to listen now. We have to listen now. So let me ask you a question. Are you listening? No, I mean, are you still listening? Am I still really listening? Oh, man, those words. Well, all I can say, no, we need to keep listening. Are we listening? But we include and we transcend. See, maybe God is speaking to you for the first time, maybe right now. Or maybe he's saying something to you again, or maybe he's saying something to you that's actually different than what he said to you 20 years ago. Maybe. Another step. Why? Because you're growing. You're growing. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. So what is he saying to you about your faith? What is he saying to you about your relationships? What is he saying to you about your time? What is he saying to you about your mental health? What is he saying to you about your friends, your parents? Now listen, I'm not going to get weird about this because I don't really hear. I can only explain that there's just somehow you just sense that God is pointing you and pushing you and moving you in a direction. Things happen and you read things and they might just kind of just grab you a little bit more than normal. Yeah? Let's be real about this. What is he saying to you? Because I believe we must always be listening, always. Because to flow, we have to listen. To flow, we have to listen. Anyone who's in a long-term relationship know that for your marriage or your relationship to flow, you have to listen. And the moment you stop listening, you probably don't really have, or you won't have a very good relationship for very long. We have to flow. We have to listen to flow. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. He's saying that now. So maybe it is important to have what's been described as a sacred discontent, a holy dissatisfaction, a holy desire for more of God and better relationships, etc., etc., to flow. Have you noticed? Do you know what I mean by flow? Are you catching the drift of what I'm talking about, flowing? Do you understand? Have you noticed that you're with people, if you're with people who are flowing, they just heal you just by being with them? Yeah? Flowing people heal by just being there. Being with people who are not flowing can be absolutely exhausting. Absolutely draining and exhausting. The negativity. The not listening. Whoa. You know what I'm talking about here? Are you with me here? So, if the plan for each of us is to flow, which I believe it is, then it will come as no surprise that at the very heart of the nature of God, there is a flow. And it's actually somehow a flow that helps us to flow. in terms of the flow of love that we're talking about. So in some respects, our job, our place is to mirror that flow that God somehow helps us. Bear with me, this will make sense. It will make sense. But I'm afraid I'm going to have to use the T word. And I'm so sorry. Not the C word, because that's a different sermon altogether. If I ever write a book, not that I ever will, I will either call it the C word, or I'll have a chapter called the C word. And the C word is control. This is not what I'm talking about this morning, but man, Pete Zach, you're an amazing dad. You are in so controlling. What? What? God, we thank you that you're in control. What? That is not how God, how dare we accuse him of being controlling? Because controlling is not a virtue, is it? Now, I believe he's divine and he's somehow, oh, so it's better. He uses another thing other than control, but please, let's not call God controlling, for goodness sake. That's the C word. But maybe we'll talk about that another time. Or maybe you want to talk to me about that. I hope I haven't upset anybody. But we have to talk about the T word. And I have wrongly, and I am very sorry about this, wrongly avoided, I think, in every sermon I've ever, ever, ever given for my entire life, I have avoided the T word. And that's been wrong. And I'm sorry. And you want to know what it is, don't you? Can you see what it is yet? Can anyone guess what it is? See, I've spent my entire life avoiding this subject. Why? Because I don't really understand it, and I don't or didn't see any prospect of understanding it, and I found it very hard to see any practical benefit to understanding it. Maybe I had a touch of what we call perfection paralysis. You know that feeling where if I'm not just going to be able to get it properly, I might as well just not bother. So why, Stuart, are you going to use the T word? And the T word is Trinity. Trinity. See, I'm pretty good at mistakes. Not bad at spotting them and making amends. But I've recently read, and I love this, mystery isn't something that you cannot understand. It's something that you can endlessly understand. So you get that? If you're writing things down, write that down. Mystery isn't something that you cannot understand. It's something that you endlessly understand. Because there's no point at which you say, I've got it. We just keep circling around it because we're growing. Because here's the next thing. The first thing was the source and the flow. Here's the next thing. I now strongly suspect in my journey that having some kind of working grasp of the Trinity is actually very important to help us to flow. And not paying any attention at all to the Trinity runs the risk of making our understanding of God just a bit skew-whiff. We get a bit weird, to use the technical Greek term. We just get a bit weird. And I understand, and I can understand why people who hold to very monotheistic faiths think that we're just out of our minds. What is this Trinity? It's not even mentioned in the Bible. Have a look through the Bible and see if you can find the T word. You won't find it. This was something that grew and evolved as our great thinkers over time started to put words to express the things that we talk about. But you see, if there's a flow within God, himself or herself, that impacts the way we live our lives, then maybe we do need to get a handle on this. Or at least this morning, let's just do one circle of this. So how about this? God the Father is for us. God the Son is beside us. And God the Spirit is within us. God the Father is for us. God the Son is beside us. God the Spirit is within us. This for me at the moment is my mantra. When I was going up those ski lifts, I was just like muttering it under my breath. Muttering all kinds of other things on the way down. God the Father is for us. God the Son is beside us. And God the Spirit is within us. God the Father is for us. God the Son is beside us. And God the Spirit is within us. So, God the Father is for us. Let me ask you a question. Are you still with me? We're not long. We're nearly there. Do you believe that God is for us, for you?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Let me ask you that question again. It's not because I want you to say anything else. Do you believe that God is really for you? Now, your answer is yes, of course it is. Let me ask you the question again. Do you believe that God is for you? Really for you? Every ounce, every inch of God is for you. Really? Listen and think about this. We need to be careful with any theory or beliefs where God the Father is not completely free to forgive and love us. Why? Because God is... Yes. Let me say that again. Be careful with any theory or any beliefs where God the Father is not completely free to forgive and love you. Completely free. Why? Because God is... God is for you. You know, there is nothing that you can do to make him love you more. There's nothing that you can do that make God love you more or less. There's nothing you can do. Wow. And let's be very clear. God isn't a man. I don't think God is a man. That's a metaphor. Why? Because the word Abba, which is what we have in the Bible, connotes safety and love and endearment. So we use the name Father because then we understand somehow what that might mean. So the word Father is like a vehicle for us to understand what God is like. The Father, God is for you. And without this, it all gets very scary, deeply scary and unsafe, and maybe even a little bit twisted and weird. See, God is love, and he is completely free to forgive and love you. So let me tell you this morning, if I'm allowed to tell you anything, because I much prefer to suggest things. Let me tell you this morning, if I may, that God is for you. He's for you. Every ounce of him, every single ounce of him, he's for you. He's not cross with you. In fact, there's really nothing that you can do for him to make him love you any more or any less. He is for you. Do you believe God is for you? Yes, because I'm certain of it. Well, that's all well and good, you might say. Well, that's all well and good. But if he's somewhere out there and I'm here dealing with all this kind of nonsense and difficulty, what good is that? He may be for me, but he's up there or wherever or just... Oh, and I'm here. So God the Father is for us, but then we have God the Son is alongside us. Now we're starting to flow. Because this is massive. Because if we believe that God has made himself known like at no other time in human history through the person of Jesus Christ and he's dwelt among us, and I believe this. This is huge. This is God alongside us, walking with us in solidarity with our suffering, not watching adrift from a distance. And what's more, he went through death and then through resurrection. Somehow forged a way so that we can walk the same path. Not only through the difficulties in life, but through death itself, and somehow come through to the other side. Oh my word. God alongside us, even to the end and beyond. Well, that's all well and good, you might say. But that's then. Amazing for the people at that time walking beside Jesus. And I get it now theoretically, yes. I get it, what he did. But that's all well and good. But what about now? What about where you are right now, facing the issues and the joys and the difficulties right now? Good question. You know the answer, don't you? God the Father is for us. God the Son is beside us. And God the Spirit is within us. Oh, can you feel the flow? Can you feel this flow? You know, I suspect the Holy Spirit is at work a lot more than we appreciate and realize. And I suspect it's, and I also suspect it's very difficult to experience any kind of flow in our lives without the Holy Spirit. Because all things that are good come from God. In fact, Maybe there's no flow without the Holy Spirit. And maybe the main difference between you and the person sitting in Starbucks now, apart from that amazing latte macchiato they're drinking at this moment, is your awareness and openness to this transforming presence. And that you've said yes, which is very, very important. God, the Spirit is within us. He provides momentum, inner correcting, inner aliveness. He speaks to us. There's transformation. There is transformation from wounded to wounded healers. God, the Spirit is within us. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. God the Father is. God the Son is. And God the Spirit is. God the Father is. God the Son is. God the Spirit is. I just encourage you this week, just those words, just keep saying those words. God the Father is for us. When something comes at you and it's that relationship is difficult, God the Father is for us. God the Son is beside us. God the Spirit is within us. You know, it's super important that our messages that we give on our Sunday morning are practical, yes? You know, we need to be able to do something with it rather than think, oh, that was nice, now what's for lunch? Yeah? I've worked too hard for that, people. You've worked too hard for that, people. It's super important, isn't it, that what we say here, it's not just practical, because I think we do have to dig together, but then also have to be able to do something with it. And listen, people, I think the whole subject of the flow is just so important because I think it affects absolutely everything we do. I think we have a flow in our community here as a church that at times has flowed really well and maybe other times has flowed less well for whatever reason that is. There is a flow. There's a flow in your marriage. There's a flow in your relationship with your friends. There's a flow in your relationship with God. Or at least there is an invitation to flow. I actually think this affects everything. Absolutely everything we do. And we do well just to stop and think about this. So you as ears, let them hear. I wonder what you can hear this morning. What is God saying to you? Of course, I don't know what's going on in your life at this time. To what extent you feel like you're connected and feel like you're flowing. It's something I think that's maybe very private. And for you just to share with the people, maybe who are just very close to you. Or maybe just with God himself. But there are people who would love to pray with you and talk to you if you think that would help you. And after the service in the prayer room here, there are people who would love to pray with you if you just feel like you need someone to help you with this whole subject. I'd like to finish with a prayer. Sorry, there's no gags this morning. This is where I've been. I'd like to finish with a prayer. I'd like to maybe just bow our heads for a moment. God, for us, we call you Father. God alongside us, we call you Jesus. God within us, we call you the Holy Spirit. You are the eternal mystery that enables and enfolds and enlivens all things, even us, even me. Every name falls short of your goodness and your greatness. We can only see who you are and what is. So we ask for eyes to see and ears to hear. As it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. Grace and peace. Amen. Amen. And breathe. Okay, I'll...